I'd like to bake brownies and drink decaf coffee on my back porch. Before or after I make you forget your name. Let's do it. I follow her to her house and park behind her in the driveway. She waits for me as I climb out of my car and join her on the porch. Are we baking brownies from scratch? I ask as she unlocks her door and I follow her inside. No, that takes too long, she replies. I have a good box mix. I'll add a few extra things to it. Brownies take an hour to bake, I remind her. Yep. What are we going to do for an hour? Get naked, she replies with a shrug, and then we will have fresh brownies. I mean, is there a better post-coital snack than brownies? I stop and stare at her, watching as she grins and pulls the ingredients for the chocolate dessert out of cupboards and the fridge. I pull my phone out of my pocket and snap a picture of her as she stirs the batter. When she glances at me, I snap another one, happy to capture the bright smile she gives me. Are you taking photos of me? I want visual proof that you actually bake. She laughs and pours the batter into a pan. I told you, I can bake with the best of them. I do all of the baking at Seduction. I'm impressed, I reply, after she shuts the oven door and sets the timer. 1 hour. Her eyes look less certain now that the task of getting the brownies ready to bake is over, and I'm slowly advancing on her here in her kitchen. She's not moving away. Mia. She looks up, and when I glide my hands down her sides and around to her ass, then lift her onto the countertop, she simply bites her lip and watches me with wide, curious blue eyes. Are you sure you want this? I whisper. I've caged her in. My hands are flat on the countertop next to her hips. Her legs are spread, and I'm pressed against her. I drag my nose down hers and then nibble lightly on her lips. Mia? Hmm? I asked a question. I invited you here. That wasn't the question, I reply and kiss her chin and upper jawline to her ear. I want you to tell me, with words, that you want me, Mia. I want to strip you out of these clothes and touch every inch of this amazing body. She bites her lip again, and I see a brief moment of uncertainty pass through her eyes. You have to talk to me, baby. I don't really look like I did 10 years ago. None of us do. She shakes her head and leans back so she can look me in the eyes. I've gained weight, Camden, and it makes me uncomfortable. I have always loved every curve on your body. I hate that you have insecurities, but I'm telling you right now, you don't have to feel uncomfortable with me. We can take this as slow or as fast as you want. We don't even have to get all the way naked, but I admit that would make me pout. She grins slowly. I wouldn't want you to pout. No, it's not attractive at all. But all kidding aside, tonight is all about you. I'm here because you invited me, and because I want to spend the evening with you. I want you, Mia. I won't lie and say I don't, but I'm a patient man. That's new, she says with a raised eyebrow. She leans forward and presses a kiss over my sternum through my shirt. You may be patient, but I'm not. No? No. Her hair is down. It's longer than I've ever seen on her, and it's absolutely sexy as hell. Her neck is smooth, the skin there so fucking soft. She gathers my shirt in her fists and pulls up so she can glide her hands on my bare skin. If you keep doing that, the patience will fly out of the window. She smiles and tilts her head to the side, giving me all the invitation I need. I press the tip of my tongue against the softest skin right below her ear and drag it down to her collarbone. I kiss over to the other side and back up to the other ear, soaking her in. Her breathing has sped up, matching my own. She pulls back and peels her top over her head, tossing it on the floor. I reach over my shoulder and pull my shirt off as well. Do men take a class on how to take off their shirt in the sexiest way possible? It's in our DNA, I reply. It's impressive, she says, before leaning in and kissing my chest. She bites me gently on the collarbone and then my neck. I forgot what a biter you are, I murmur. I make quick work of getting her out of her bra, toss it aside, and cup her breasts in my palms, worrying the already hard nipples between my thumbs and forefingers. Your breasts are fantastic. She tips her head back with a sigh as I suck on one, then the other. Her body is a bit softer than before, rounder. I can't get enough of it. She's reaching for my pants, and all I can think about is tasting her. Living room, I mutter, and carry her to the sectional. I set her down and we strip out of our clothes, throwing them aside, unable to keep our hands off each other. I'm cupping her face and kissing the fuck out of her. Her hands are traveling down my sides, and just before she grips my cock in her sexy little hand, I pull back. If you touch me, I'll have to fuck you now, and it'll be over. I swallow hard when determination darkens her blue eyes. I'm serious, Mia. We have an hour.
Probably closer to 45 minutes now, she says breathlessly.
I'm not going to rush this. I kiss her lips gently and guide her down to the couch. I want to explore you a bit. She bites her lip. She's such a fucking biter, it's going to be the death of me. You're so beautiful, I mutter, and let my fingertips explore her chest, her arms, over the slight swell of her belly and her thighs. Lie down. She complies, and I silently thank her for buying this big sofa, big enough for her to lie down and for me to lie on my stomach, her legs over my shoulders. I'm not there yet, but I will be very soon.
I haven't had a shower since this morning, she informs me, already guessing what I have planned.
I give zero fucks about that. I drag my knuckles over her nipples, making them pucker again, and kiss her belly right below her navel. She sighs in pleasure when I tickle that spot with my nose. My hands are traveling all over her now, slowly, softly. Her eyelids are heavy as she watches me. Close your eyes, Mia, and hold on to the cushion over your head. Her eyes flash in excitement before she complies. Her skin is white and soft, tender, responsive. I kiss just above her pubis. She's not waxed, but she's trimmed, and I can't help but wonder if she did that for me. Her legs scissor as my fingertips gently brush over her armpits and down her sides, setting goosebumps on fire over her body. If you want me to stop, you just say the word. Do you understand?
For the love of God, please don't stop.
I grin and lick the inside of her right thigh, then the left one. Once I'm settled with her legs over my shoulders, I press my thumb against her clit and suck the lips of her pussy into my mouth, making pulsing motions. Her entire body tenses and then releases as she writhes in pleasure. You're so sweet. I lick one lip, then the other, before moving up to pull her clit into my mouth.
Jesus, Camden.
Her hips buck. I push my hands under her ass and hold her up, giving me better access to her entire core. Yes?
I can't.
Her head thrashes back and forth as I lick and suck and nibble every spot of skin. When I press my tongue to her clit and rub up and down quickly, she comes apart spectacularly, crying out, her body flushing and shivering. I need to be inside of her, right now.
Chapter 7. Mia. He's trying to fucking kill me. Dead. Deader than dead. My body is humming from the intense orgasm he just gave me, and the next thing I know he turns me, as if I weigh nothing, on the couch so my ass is at the edge of the cushion. He reaches for his jeans, protecting us both, and returns his attention to me. His body is ridiculous. Bronze. As if God made him look permanently tanned. His muscles are toned. His stomach flat. A light fine spattering of hair covers his chest and thins as it flows south to his cock. And the cock is something to write home about. Not that I will. In me, I instruct him, looking down.
Look at me.
My eyes fly to his in a heartbeat. They're deep blue, full of lust, and are pinned to mine as he takes his cock in his fist and drags a tip through my wet folds, over my clit, and makes me fling my head back. My God! Look at me, he says again. I comply, and he slowly slides inside me. When he's fully buried to the hilt, he bends over and kisses me sweetly. He links his fingers with mine and kisses the back of my hand. You're so fucking sweet. I bite my lip and flex around him, silently begging him to fucking move. Mia. Love it when you say my name. He grins and pulls out halfway, then moves back in. Do you? Yeah. What else do you like? The list is long. His lips wrap around a nipple, making me arch my back and shove my fingers into the hair at the back of his head. That, I like that. With a growl, he pulls me off the couch and onto the white shag rug I bought 2 weeks ago. It's soft against my back. He's kneeling, and my back is still arched, my hips up to meet his. He's got a death grip on my hips, pushing and pulling as he slowly begins to work his way in and out of me. I can't even stand how good it feels. Has it ever felt like this? I don't think so. I don't even know if it's legal in the state of Oregon to feel like this. It shouldn't be. His palm slides from my stomach to my throat in one long fluid motion, and then back down again. He plants the pad of his thumb against my clit, and just like that, I start to see stars. Camden. Yes, baby. He's pulsing inside me, tiny movements that hit that damn spot over and over again, and I'm about to come harder than ever. That's it. I cover my face with my hands and cry out as the orgasm moves through me, making every nerve ending in my body tingle spectacularly. He lowers my ass to the ground and covers me now, buries his face in my neck, and groans with his own release. I'm happy to lie here for a long moment, cradling him against me, soaking in the weight of him, touching his body during one of his most vulnerable moments. It's just bliss. It was always bliss when it came to sex with Camden, but this time is just a little bit different. Not bad. Not bad at all. My body feels alive. Along with the bliss, there's a longing, a sweetness that wasn't there when we were younger. It's better than before, and I didn't think that was possible. What are you thinking? He asks against my ear, just as the oven timer dings. That the brownies are done. That's a lie, he says and kisses my cheek, then my lips. He's propped on his elbows, looking down at me. They're going to burn. Then you'd better answer me quickly. I sigh and drag my fingertips down his face. I was thinking that slow sex feels pretty damn good. He eyes me for a moment, then smiles. Taking it fast, especially this time, wasn't an option, Mia. And for the record, I'm going to say right here and now, so there is no misunderstanding, this wasn't just about a quick fuck.
That's not romantic, I mutter.
Exactly. I don't know what will happen, but this is exclusive. I don't want there to be any confusion.
Like before, when I was dumb. I nod thoughtfully. Good to know.
He winks and rolls away. I reach for my shirt and throw it over my head as I race to the kitchen and take the brownies out of the oven.
The edges are just a tiny bit overdone. They'll be chewy.
Excellent. I like them that way.
I look back at him and almost swallow my tongue. He pulled his jeans on, but didn't button them, and he's not wearing a shirt.
Do you have a license for that?
For what?
For the way you look. It's ridiculous.
He laughs and tugs his black t-shirt over his head, making me purse my lips in a pout.
You didn't have to put that back on.
I don't mind being your eye candy,
he says, kissing me.
Well, that's good, because you are whether you like it or not. It just is.
Do you have ice cream to go with the brownies?
He walks over to the freezer and opens it, surveying the contents.
I'm no amateur, I reply with a laugh. You serve dessert while I go clean up a bit. He grabs my ass and kisses my neck.
You don't have to wear pants.
I do. I do have to wear pants. Now he pelts, and I pat his cheek playfully. You can take them back off later.
Deal.
I can hear him rustling through my kitchen, looking for serving utensils and plates as I clean up and throw on clean clothes. I forego the underwear, just because I'm feeling sassy. When I rejoin him, he's plated the brownies with ice cream and found a sprig of mint to put on the top of each one. Fancy. He turns and smiles at me.
Why shouldn't I make it fancy for you? I'm trying to impress you.
It might be working. I reply with a shrug and take my plate from him, leading him onto my front porch.
This space is great,
he says, settling in next to me. I wanted a screened-in porch, I say, and take a bite of the melty ice cream and hot brownie.
Dear God, that's good.
Make noises like that, Mia, and I'll take you right here on the porch where everyone can hear you.
No, you won't. I lean against him and chew thoughtfully. I want the porch to be screened in because I like to eat out here, but I don't like bugs.
Makes sense.
Everyone made fun of me.
I don't like to have bugs around while I eat either. I don't see why they'd make fun of you for it.
Well, by everyone, I mean Landon, and he pretty much makes fun of me for everything. Camden nods and finishes his treat, sets the plate to the side, and wraps his arms around me while I continue to eat.
I make fun of my sister for just about everything, too. It's what we do.
I get it.
Your brownies are delicious.
Yeah, this is turning out to be a religious experience. He chuckles and kisses my temple.
You make me laugh.
I finish my brownie and set the plate next to Camden's, then sit quietly in his arms for a long moment, just enjoying the evening with him. Once in a while a car will drive by, interrupting the quiet, and then it settles around us again.
Are you sleepy?
He asks. I'm getting there. Let's sit out here for a while.
I'd like to stay.
It's not a question. He's not asking if he can, and I definitely don't want him to leave. You should stay. He nods, and we sit like this for a long time, watching the neighborhood, enjoying each other. The silence isn't uncomfortable. In fact, I don't remember the last time I felt this content, this safe. My eyes are heavy, so I let them close and enjoy the sounds around me, the frogs and Camden's even breathing.
Mia?
You're
sleeping, sweetheart.
I'm just resting my eyes.
Let's go to bed.
I sit up, stretch, and reach for the plates. Maybe I am tired.
I know I am. You wore me out.
Sure I did. I laugh and lock the door, turn off the lights, and set the plates in the kitchen sink. Camden checks the lock on the back door and reaches out for my hand.
Come on, you can wear me out some more.
It's not Sunday, which sucks ass. It means that I can't lie in bed and be lazy until it's time to go have brunch with the girls. It also means that it's Saturday, and it's going to be so fucking busy at work that I'll drop back into bed tonight as a zombie. My feet will be numb. My hair will smell. I'll be alone. Wait. I may not be alone. In fact, if memory serves, I'm not alone right now. Without opening my eyes, I reach out and feel around in my king-sized bed. But I don't encounter any warm, manly flesh, just cool sheets. I frown and open one bleary eye, looking around in confusion. Camden spent the night last night. If he sneaked out of here and left me a cliché note on the pillow, I'll hunt him down and throat-punch him. I might be a tiny bit grouchy in the morning, but damn it, I'm too old to hook up with men who sneak out before morning.
She's awake.
Without sitting up, I turn my head and find Camden standing in the doorway of my bedroom, holding a tray with steaming food on it. I have to work this morning, I remind him, but he just smirks and carries the tray to my bed, sets it down at the end of the bed and leans over to kiss me. I haven't brushed my teeth, so I'm mildly horrified as he pulls away.
I made breakfast. You didn't have much in the fridge, so you're stuck with a bacon and cheese omelet. No side.
That's more than I usually eat. I sit up, wrap the sheet around me, and lean against the headboard. Camden snaps a picture of me on his phone. Are you an amateur photographer?
I reach for the coffee first and take a sip. I like the way you look,
he replies as he strips out of his boxers and joins me in bed. He reaches for the food, grabs one of the two forks, and takes a bite of the omelet.
I thought you said that was for me.
It's for both of us. You only had enough for one.
Reaching for my fork, I lean in and kiss his shoulder as I load up the eggy, cheesy goodness. Thanks for doing this.
You're welcome. I didn't want to wake you up.
I need to get up anyway. I should get to Seduction early to start prepping for today. Saturday is our busiest day of the week as it is, but Jake is playing tonight, so we will be packed.
Jake Knox, he says with a nod. I haven't met him yet.
Come by this evening and you will. He takes one more bite and sets his fork down, leaving the last bite for me.
I'd like to come help today, Mia.
It's not
my job, I know, but damn it, you need the help. I'll be bored, wandering around the city of Portland aimlessly and alone, while you get to have fun in the kitchen all day. It's not fair.
He sighs deeply, as if the weight of the world is on his shoulders, and I can't help but smile at him. You're a nice guy.
Now you're just being mean. The hot girl never wants the nice guy.
I don't know what the hot girl wants, but I like the nice guy.
You're the hot girl.
He kisses my cheek.
I'm going to take a selfie.
I frown. I look horrible.
Well, you don't.
He raises the camera, and rather than smile at the lens, I rest my forehead on his jaw.
That's okay. This is a cute picture.
He shows it to me, and I have to agree. He's smiling big, bare-chested, his dark blonde hair a mess. My eyes are closed, and it looks like a sweet, intimate moment between the two of us. Will you send it to me?
I'll post it on social media, too.
I pull back in surprise. No, you won't.
Okay, I won't. He grins and texts the picture to me. Tell me I won't be alone and sad today while you have fun at work.
We can't have that. I wipe my lips on the napkin and toss it on the tray. You can come in.
Great.
I have to take a quick shower so I can get ready for work.
Even better.
Do not interrupt me in the shower. I have time for sex or breakfast. You made your choice.
Bullshit,
he calls after me. The hot water feels so good on my sore body. I'm deliciously sore. Muscles that I didn't know I had are weeping. I guess that's what happens when you have sex several times through the night after a long dry spell. Just as I'm finishing up, the glass door of my walk-in shower opens, and in walks a very naked, very aroused Camden.
Hi,
he says with a smile.
I came to wash your back.
I was just about to get out.
Good. I didn't really want to wash your back.
He pins me against the wall of the shower and kisses me, holding my hands above my head with one hand and letting his other roam all over my slick body.
You're fucking sexy in the morning.
Camden.
Yes.
I hate to burst this lusty bubble, but water sex isn't really comfortable for me. He leans back and looks down at me with a frown.
In what way?
Well, this isn't uncomfortable at all. I'm just going to say it.
We're both adults here.
For a lot of women, me included, when you have sex in the water, it washes away the natural lubrication and it hurts so fucking bad.
I'm a 32-year-old man and I've never heard this before.
Probably because no one wanted to say anything. You don't want to ruin the moment and all that. But I'm already a little sore from last night, and if we do this here, I will be in agony, and I have to be on my feet all day.
No problem.
He picks me up and spins around, pinning me against the opposite wall. I can feel the hot water on my legs and feet, but it's nowhere near my vagina.
Better?
Oh, yeah. He grins and kisses me softly, slowly as he slides inside me, also at a happily lazy pace. It seems that when it comes to sex, Camden doesn't do anything quickly.
which in this moment works well for me. My tired, oversexed muscles have the chance to adjust to him again before he starts to move. His thrusts are shallow, so he stays buried deep inside me. It's fucking amazing.
Mia,
he murmurs against my neck. Yes.
I want to stay here with you all day and do this. Relearn you. Feed you. Laugh with you. Fuck you.
I bite his shoulder as his pubis presses on my clit and moan. My fingernails are digging into his back. I can't hold on.
Don't.
He bites my neck just the way I like it, and that's all it takes to send me over the edge, riding the wave of ecstasy that washes over me. He sets me gently on my feet, and I immediately kneel. I wash off his cock and then suck him, working him over with both hands and my mouth. His moans and gasps of delight fuel my hunger to please him, to make him as crazy as he makes me. He calls out my name and comes, making a mess of me, and I don't care. He's shivering and weak, and I feel like the most powerful woman in the world as I stand and wash off, then leave him to clean up in the shower while I towel off.
Was that okay?
He asks, still breathing hard. Oh, yeah. I think you figured out the water sex hack. He nods.
Good. Because we'll be doing that again. I want to stay here with you all day and do this. Relearn you. Feed you. Laugh with you. Fuck you.
His words are on a constant loop in my head. For the first time that I can remember, I want to stay home. I want to blow off work and stay home with him, doing all of the things he described. I wish I had another chef on staff that I trusted to take care of things without me. I've never given this a thought before, but it's not a bad one. He's right. I need people in my kitchen that I trust. But if I was sick or in an accident, the kitchen has to be able to function without me. I'll talk with Cammy later about the budget and how much we can afford.
You okay?
He asks as he joins me in my bedroom. He's just toweled off. He kisses me on the shoulder. Yeah.
You're just standing here,
he says with a smile and reaches for his clothes.
Are you sure?
I'm great. I smile, excited that he's going to come help today. Are you sure you want to give up your Saturday to work at the restaurant?
I'm not giving up anything, baby.
He glances around to make sure he has everything.
But I'm going to have to meet you there. I'll need to swing by my place and change my clothes.
No problem.
Drive safely, he says as he walks out of the room. I'll see you in a bit. I'll bring Starbucks.
Oh, Lord, I mutter after I hear the front door close. I could fall in love with him again.
Chapter 8, Camden. Tonight's show was fantastic, as always, Addie says as she kisses her husband, Jake. It's after closing time, and we're gathered in the bar, unwinding before we all head home. You might be biased, Jake says with a grin. Well, I'm not biased, I reply. It was pretty great. Thank you, he says with a nod. It's always fun to play here. That's how Addie and I met, you know. No, I didn't know. We put out an ad for a weekend musician, Addie says, and Jake came in to apply for it. Were ticket sales down? I ask. I hadn't performed in a long time, he says, and I missed it. But I don't ever want to go back to touring. The band isn't getting back together. I'm happy producing music, but I like the idea of getting on a small stage with my guitar, and the rest is history. He's a busy man, so he only performs once a month now, Addie adds. We have a little girl, and he has a business to run. How did you and Mia meet? Jake asks. In culinary school, Mia says, as she methodically takes her hair down, as is her habit most nights after work. Kat passes us both a glass of wine from behind the bar. I don't think I've heard this story, Kat says. Spill it. Don't you have a husband to go home to? Mia asks with a scowl. He'll still be there after you tell me the story, Cat replies with a grin. I actually like our story, I say, and look to Mia. She nods, and I launch into it. So, Mia and I went to culinary school together up near Seattle. That's where I'm originally from. Mia and I were assigned to be lab partners, which worked for me. I mean, look at her. Don't look at me, I'm a mess. You're beautiful, I reply, even when you're a mess. Cat and Addie exchange a glance, but I keep talking. Anyway, it didn't hurt my feelings at all to work with Mia. She was funny and smart, and she had a great work ethic even then. I am pretty awesome. Mia smirks and sips her wine. She would get these ideas and run with them, and I would just step back and follow her lead. What does that mean? Mia's scowling at me. Well, you're bossy. You have a successful restaurant for a reason, Mia. Even if the rest of the place is amazing, people won't come back if the chef sucks. You're not exactly warm and fuzzy, but you control everything around you. I'm not warm and fuzzy enough for you, she asks, her voice deadly calm, and I know that I've just royally fucked things up, but I have no idea how. It's not an insult, Mia. You know that I loved working with you in school. Even though I was a bitch, she says, nodding. Whoa, I didn't call you a bitch. You know, you weren't complaining about my level of warm and fuzzy last night when you fucked me all night. Enough. My voice is stern, and I'm disappointed in her. We'll talk about this in private. No need. She shakes her head and chugs the last of her wine before slamming the glass down so hard that the stem breaks. There's no need to be around me if you think I'm a bitch. I mean, no one wants to be around someone who's not warm and fuzzy. She stands and marches out of the bar, and I'm blinking in confusion. What the fuck just happened? I ask. It's not your fault, Addie says. Sometimes Mia gets a little touchy about her stern work ethic. People have quit and marched out, calling her a cunt and a bitch and every other name in the book on their way out the door. They think she's too tough on her staff, but really she just wants them to want to do well, to be competent at their job. She really just needs a whole day off once in a while, Kat says. Of all of us, I'd say the transition has been the hardest for her, but she won't talk about it with us. I see. I stand and nod at the others before I follow the way Mia went. I find her standing near the hostess stand, her head bowed. Mia. She sniffles and quickly wipes her cheeks dry. What? I didn't mean to make you cry. God, please don't cry. That's the worst thing that a woman can do to a man. We just aren't equipped to deal with tears. I'm not crying, she says, but another tear slips out of the corner of her eye and onto her cheek. Damn it. I wasn't insulting you, sweetheart. Your work ethic is amazing. It's one of the things that I admire the most about you. You kick my ass, that's for sure. I'm not insulted. Come here. She pauses and bites her lip, and then her face crumples in tears, and she throws herself into my arms, hugging me tightly around the middle. Her face is buried in my chest as she cries. Shh. I rub my hand in circles around her back. Sweetheart, it's okay. I don't know what's wrong with me. Talk to me. I'm not mean. I'm not cold or heartless. No, you're absolutely not those things. I mean, I expect a certain level of professionalism. I always have. The kitchen should be clean and organized. Everyone needs to be mindful of what they're doing. Pay fucking attention. Otherwise people get hurt, I add, agreeing wholeheartedly with her. Yes, she nods. Exactly. I don't know what's wrong with people, but let me just say, very few people share our views on that. And when it happens in my kitchen, they get thrown out on their ass. As it should be. But I've been called so many hateful, hurtful, horrible things, Camden. All my life, really, but especially since I've been running this business. And I don't get it. Why would anyone call me a cock-sucking cunt on their way out of my kitchen? They'll never get a letter of recommendation from me for that. And the restaurant community is small. We talk. It's career suicide to abuse a master chef that way. Not to mention, it just makes them an asshole, I say, so angry that I want to have just 5 minutes alone with any asshole who ever spoke to her this way. You don't deserve that, Mia, ever. No, I don't. But it happens more than you think. So after the last one quit in the middle of his shift and told me that I could bend over and take his dick up my ass before he'd ever follow another order from me again, I decided to not fill the position. I'd rather work myself 80 hours a week than put up with that. Honestly, I'd like a list of anyone who's treated you like that. She sighs and wipes her cheeks. And I can be warm and fuzzy. It just doesn't belong in the kitchen. Maybe if we're alone in the kitchen, you can be warm and fuzzy, I suggest, and the knot in my stomach loosens when I feel her chuckle against me.
Maybe.
Are you okay? She takes a deep breath.
Yeah, it's been a stressful week, and Mother Nature always makes me mean to people I like.
She whispers a lot under her breath. You mean you have female things happening?
Yeah, it ruins everything.
I hug her tightly and then pull back and smile down at her. Let's go to my place. It's not far from here. I'll take care of you. She blinks rapidly.
Camden, I don't know if you're aware what Mother Nature means, but all you have to do is feed me and tell me I'm pretty.
I know what it means. We'll save earth-shattering sex for another day, trust me. She wipes the last of her tears away.
I do. Let's go.
You made me cupcakes, she says, her eyes still heavy with sleep. She sits up and stares in wonder as I slip a plate of 3 cupcakes on her lap.
And let me nap.
I grin and watch as she takes a big bite of the chocolate goodness, then sighs in happiness.
Oh, these are good.
You're pretty, I reply, and tuck a strand of her hair behind her ear.
You're good at following directions, she says and kisses my hand.
Food and compliments are really all I need on a day like today. I'm happy to help. You didn't sleep well last night. She tossed and turned, and when she finally did sleep, it was fitful.
Neither did you. I think I kicked you at one point.
Nowhere important. I watch her take another bite of her cake. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
She shrugs one shoulder and then looks me in the eyes.
I really am okay. I have no complaints at all.
But
this is all a surprise.
The cupcakes? She laughs and shakes her head no.
You, this. I wasn't expecting it.
What were you expecting?
Honestly?
Always.
Resentment, anger, attitude. All of those would have been normal given our past. I didn't expect you to want to start something new.
I felt all of those things for a while, I admit, thinking back on those days just after I found her gone. How angry I was. How I couldn't stand to live in that apartment after she moved out and I moved back in with Steph for a while.
But it's been a long time, and we've talked a lot of it out.
We're not the same people we were, and I have to tell you, relearning who you are has been pretty great.
Were there a lot of women after me?
Her cheeks flush in embarrassment, but she keeps her chin high.
Maybe I'm hormonal, but I'm curious.
There have been some, I admit, and shrug one shoulder, watching as she peels the paper off a cupcake. Nothing serious. Maybe I compared them to you.
That's not healthy.
I don't think I did it consciously, but no one compared to you, Mia.
I think you're pretty great, she says, and leans in to kiss me. I'm glad you're here and that Riley stood her ground. I wasn't very excited when they told me who the celebrity chef was that they wanted me to work with.
I'm sure.
Mostly, I'd put it all squarely in the past, and I had never mentioned you to any of the girls or my family. Like I said before, I was embarrassed, and I'd moved on. But I think I still carried a lot of shame and anxiety over the way I handled things, and I feel lighter now.
Me too, I reply. Have you filled them all in now?
No.
She finishes her second cupcake and sighs.
Landon and Cammy know it all because I just had to talk to someone about it. The others know bits and pieces. We'll probably have a girls' night soon. I'll drink too much and spill everything, then throw up, and all will be right with the world again.
Really? Is that what women do? That's what these women do. Good to know. I laugh and kiss her forehead. What would you like to do with the rest of your Sunday? What time is it? Just past one. You napped for a while. Shit, she mutters and reaches for her phone. I have to do dinner with my parents tonight. We do it one Sunday every month, and it's today. I quickly rethink my plans for an evening in with lasagna and movies. When do you have to leave?
Around 3. Mom and Dad like to eat early. I think it's a law that older people have to eat dinner before 5. Oh, and you're coming with me.
I am? Why? Her head jerks up. You don't want to go? I didn't say that.
Well, Landon and Cammy won't be there today, so I thought it would be a quiet way for you to meet them. But maybe I'm being dumb. You don't have to go at all. In fact, forget I said anything.
I cover her mouth with mine, effectively shutting her up. I will go with you.
Is it weird?
No. I told you, this isn't just about sex. I'd like to meet your parents.
Okay.
She nods and texts her mother.
I'm letting her know that I'm bringing a man. You do know that because they're old-fashioned and because they're my parents, my mother will have the wedding planned before we leave.
That's convenient. I bark out a laugh when she stares at me in horror. It'll be fun. I'm quite charming when I meet new people.
This might just make you run back to L.A.
I doubt it. I kiss her again and she wiggles away, stands, and finger combs her hair.
I have to get ready.
You look fine to me.
I have to go home and change my clothes.
Let's go. We'll just take one car.
You're a bit bossy.
Hello, Pot. She laughs and accepts my hand, letting me lead her out to my car. Get used to it.
So, where are you from, Camden?
Mia's mom asks. The four of us are seated around the table in Mia's parents' home. They're polite, and I can tell by the glint in their eyes that they're very interested in what my intentions are with their daughter. Not that I can tell them that. I haven't even told Mia that.
Kirkland, just outside of Seattle.
Nice area, her father says.
We've spent the past hour talking about television, being a chef, and how pretty Mia was as a baby. The latter, much to Mia's dismay.
What Mia needs is a nice man to settle down with,
Mrs. Palazzo says, making Mia's eyes go wider than I've ever seen them.
Mother!
It's the truth, her dad says. You should get married and have babies. You're not getting any younger, and you have the hips for it. You would give us plenty of grandchildren.
I sure wish the floor would open up and swallow me now, Mia says, pinching the bridge of her nose.
I can't help it. All I can do is sit back in my seat and laugh. Well, I mean, does Mia come with a dowry? I ask, unable to keep from smiling when Mia glares daggers at me. Her father's eyes narrow, as if he's considering it.
I'm sure we could come up with a mutually beneficial agreement.
Mom, he's kidding,
her mother says, but Mia shakes her head no.
He's not kidding. Make it stop. We are certainly not arranging for Mia to have a dowry, she says sternly.
I'm completely kidding, I add, holding my hands up in surrender. Mia doesn't need a dowry. Her father almost pouts as he takes a bite of his garlic bread. I see where Mia gets her talent for cooking. This is delicious.
I like him, Mrs. Palazzo says with a nod. Mia, come help me with dessert.
If you're not here when I get back, I totally understand, Mia says. I had no idea that my parents would actually try to talk you into marrying me.
I'm fine, I reply honestly.
Go get us dessert. She glares at her father.
Be nice.
When Mia and her mother are in the kitchen, Mr. Palazzo smiles at me with a shrug.
It's fun to rile her up. I couldn't agree more.
Of course, her mother and I want her to find a special man. We want many grandchildren, but the most important thing is that Mia finds someone worthy of her.
I don't know if that man exists, I reply.
She's a special woman.
Yes, she is. Recognizing that is the most important first step. I can see that you're smitten with my girl.
She's a special woman, I repeat, just as his telephone rings.
Excuse me.
He walks out of the room, and I can hear Mia and her mother talking in the kitchen.
I made you a sugar-free option. It's her mother's voice. Why would you do that? In case you're giving up sugar. I never said I was giving up sugar. There's a sigh. Also, why in the name of all that's holy would Dad say that I have birthing hips? I grin, not at all ashamed that I'm listening in. Maybe because you do, her mother says. It's okay, Mia. Having children is nothing to be ashamed of. Oh, Lord, Mia mutters. I don't think Camden cares that I have hips. Doesn't give even one fuck. Of course not, her mother says. He's clearly very taken with you. Andy's not Italian, Mia says.
Sorry, I had to take that, her father says as he joins me. A moment later, the ladies come out with a delicious-looking tiramisu. The rest of the dinner is much of the same conversation, and once the dishes are finished, Mia takes my hand and announces that we need to leave.
Thank you for coming, her mother says as she gives us each a kiss on the cheek. I hope we get to see you again, Camden.
Mia rushes me out of the house and down to my car, and after we pulled away from the curb, she lets out a long, painful sigh.
That didn't go well, she says.
Why not?
I mean, I knew that they'd drop hints about marriage. I'm their only daughter, and they're convinced that my biological clock is ticking. I get that. But they acted as if I've never introduced them to a man before. It's like they're shocked that I snagged a date, so they're going to drill it home that they want me married. Stat.
And that's just insulting. This is the 21st century. They love you, I reply, and take her hand in mine, kissing her knuckles. They were pretty obvious, but it wasn't in a malicious way. They want you to be happy.
I am happy.
Good. That's all they need.
We clearly weren't at the same dinner. I'm sorry that it was so embarrassing. I shouldn't have invited you.
Look at me, she complies. Do I look angry or embarrassed?
No. Why is that?
Because I'm neither of those things. They are loving parents. Trust me, just feel happy that you have parents to fuss over you.
I'm sorry, she says immediately. I don't mean to sound ungrateful. It just made me incredibly uncomfortable.
I can see that, but I'm fine, so let it roll off your back. It's not a big deal. She nods and looks out the passenger window.
I think I'll go home tonight, she says softly.
We can stay at your place.
Maybe I'll go alone.
I glance at her.
Why? We start filming tomorrow, and I don't feel as good as I could. It might just be better if we spend tonight apart and regroup.
Is that what you want to do? She swallows hard and then nods, putting on a brave smile.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. I pull up to my rental house and turn to face her. I don't know where this is coming from. I suspect you're still feeling embarrassed, and I'm going to say this one last time. Your parents are fine. I thought it was funny. I'm not here because they made me feel sorry for you. She winces. I'm here because I think you're badass and I like who I am when I'm with you. So if you want to stay at your place tonight, that's fine. But you won't be staying alone. She's quiet for a moment, and then she licks her lips and meets my gaze.
Pack a bag.
Chapter 9. Mia. There's a woman with a makeup brush standing to my left. I don't need any more makeup. You do, she insists. Just some powder so the lights don't make you shiny. I roll my eyes and stand still as she dusts my face for the fourth time in an hour.
Are we ready?
Trevor asks us. Ready? I nod and take a deep breath. I don't love being in front of the camera, but I'm getting better at it. Camden leans in and whispers in my ear.
You look so fucking sexy. You've got this.
I glance up at him, smirk, and bump him with my hip, making him chuckle and walk back to his workstation.
Action!
Don't forget. I begin and check the oil on the stovetop. You don't want the oil to be too hot. It will catch on fire.
Just like it did during rehearsal,
Camden adds with a wink. Yeah, Camden set the place on fire. I laugh and gently set my chicken in the hot oil.
It wasn't me,
he says, shaking his head, also placing his chicken in his own skillet. I walk over to pull some oregano out of the cupboard, but it's too high for me, as always. Trevor had a step stool brought in, but I'm feeling particularly flirty today, so I set it aside and look at Camden. I could use some help,
of course.
He reaches up for the herb and hands it to me.
Need anything else?
Not right now. He nods and returns to his skillet, and I wink at the camera. Here's a good rule to have in your kitchen. Never use a step stool when there's a perfectly capable tall man in the kitchen with you.
I see. You're just using me.
Camden laughs and points out his technique for deciding when the chicken is done to the camera. We spend the next 30 minutes like this, playfully bantering and cooking. Frankly, it's the most fun I've had in a kitchen in a long time. Well, when sex wasn't involved. Now we're going to ask the crew to come over here to give our dishes a taste and decide on a winner. A cameraman, a sound person, the makeup artist all gather around and take bites off our plates. Camden's wins for me.
No, Mia's chicken is more tender.
We all stare at the makeup artist in anticipation. She grins.
Camden can cook for me any time.
And now I want to kick her in the vag, but I just smile and shake Camden's hand. Looks like we have a winner, I say, and shrug at the camera. If you want any of these recipes, you can find them on our homepage on the Best Bites TV website. Take care, everyone. Cut. Trevor walks over, a wide smile on his handsome face, and pushes his glasses up his nose.
That was fantastic, you two. I don't even think we need to reshoot it. You're happy with one take?
Camden asks in surprise.
I am. You're professional, but a little flirty. And there were no snafus with the food. We'll be back here again tomorrow morning to film the dessert course.
Why are we doing them out of order? I ask.
Because Riley's craving sugar.
He winks at us and turns away.
I'll see you both tomorrow.
I pull my hair up in a messy knot on the top of my head and sigh. I need to wash this crap off my face. I don't want it to melt into the food today.
That's disgusting, Camden says, wrinkling his nose. Do you need anything?
He's always asking me if I need anything, or want him to do something. It's sweet, and not something I'm used to. I don't think so. I'm going to head into the restaurant for the day.
I have a couple of calls to make. I can come help this afternoon.
Actually, my other chef hasn't called out yet, so I'll have plenty of help. Take the day off. He narrows his eyes.
Really?
Absolutely. I stand on my tiptoes, and he still has to bend down to kiss me. I'll see you later. Seduction isn't far from the studio. I march straight into the bathroom to wash my face before walking into the kitchen. Once I get there, all I can do is look around the room at everything I have to do. Nothing is prepped for today yet. It's Monday, so we won't be sold out today, but I do still need to get things ready. Not to mention, someone left some dirty dishes in the dish sink, and that's never okay. My dishwasher doesn't come in until noon. There's no need for him to arrive earlier than that. Which means I get to do some dishes. But suddenly, as I'm standing here looking around, I realize that I'm just so fucking tired. We filmed for 4 hours this morning. We were in the studio by 6, and filming by 7. I've cooked and flirted and had to turn it all on for the cameras. And now I get to pull a full 12-hour shift here. I can't do it. I turn on my heel and march into our offices, happy to see Cammy sitting at her desk.
Good morning, she says with a smile. How was filming this morning?
It was actually really good. I plop down in the chair across from her and rub my hands over my face.
Camden is great in front of the camera. So are you.
She grins and sets her spreadsheet aside. Just looking at a spreadsheet gives me hives.
What's up?
We need to hire someone, I reply and watch as her eyes widen in surprise.
What? I didn't just say that I want to move to Tibet. That's just the last thing I ever expected you to say, but I'm glad you did. Let's talk about it. Here's the thing. I need someone really talented, someone who knows their shit, and that I can trust to take over the kitchen when I can't be there. It's just too much lately, with the show and the restaurant being as busy as we are. Not to mention you're trying to have a personal life, she adds with a grin. I get it. Finding someone with the right skills and experience isn't going to be cheap. We can afford someone good, she reminds me. We can pretty much afford whomever you want at this point. And isn't that amazing? I ask. I mean, when we started this, we just hoped that we might eventually get to a place where we could pay ourselves. I know. We're there, and then some. So you find who you want, and we'll work out the rest. Thanks. No, thank you for finally seeing that you need the help. I've been really worried about you. The other girls will be so happy when we tell them. In fact, she checks her phone. We should get going. We're going to be late. For what? It's hair day at Cece's. I can't go to Cece's. Nothing is ready for today. Are you working alone? No. Then you can go. That other chick, I can never remember their names anymore. They come and go so fast, can handle things until dinner. Your roots need some serious attention. They do? I frown and touch my head. Why didn't anyone say something? Because we have an appointment today, she says with a grin. I'm going to be grilled. Oh, for sure. I sigh and stand. Let me make sure what's-her-name is really coming in today, and see if I'm needed for anything, and then we can go. Hurry! I roll my eyes and rush into the kitchen. Linda? Lisa? Liz? Shit. I can't remember her name either, but she's working. I have an appointment. Are you okay with this until dinner? She shrugs and looks around, nodding. It should be fine. It's just Monday. I can do this. Are you sure? She rolls her eyes. Mia, I can do this. I nod. Okay, thank you. I should stay. But I want to talk to my friends. I want to tell them about Camden and get their opinions and listen to their funny banter. So I take a deep breath, thank her again, and walk back out to find Cammy waiting by the front door. Ready? Let's go. Cece's new shop is within walking distance from Seduction. We arrive just about 10 minutes later to find Addie already getting her hair balayaged, Kat sitting in a pedicure chair with her feet soaking, and Riley getting her eyebrows waxed. You're here, Addie says with a smile. I was worried that you were going to back out of girl day. I reminded her, Cammy says and sits in the pedicure chair next to Kat. I take the empty chair next to Addie and patiently wait for my turn in Cece's chair. Cece and Addie have been friends for years. Cece used to be Addie's hair and makeup stylist when Addie was a fashion model. Now she lives in Portland with her family and has a very successful shop, which we take over at least once a month. Also, Cammy continues, I am happy to report that Mia has agreed to hire another executive chef. Really? Kat asks. Yes. I'm tired, you guys. You've been tired for 2 years, Cece reminds me. I know, but I think it's really caught up with me. And with the show and our place only getting busier, I need the help. But I want someone amazing, so I'm going to have to do some headhunting. You'll find them, Riley says after coming up from having her lip waxed. And we'll pay for them. That's what I said, Cammy replies. I'm so proud of you for making this decision. The others nod in agreement. I know I'm stubborn, and I should have made this move a year ago, but it's important to me that everything is perfect, that our guests leave after having a wonderful experience. The recipes aren't easy, and I just haven't trusted that the people we've hired could do it as well as I would. But it's okay to have a life outside of work, Addie says. And maybe early on you were right to keep your own personal stamp on the menu, but we have a stellar reputation at this point, and I think it's a good time to bring in another excellent chef. I nod, relieved that they also think it's a good idea. Now that that's resolved, spill it, Kat says. Spill what? Everything, Riley adds. Some of us know bits and pieces, but none of us knows everything. And it's about time you let your best friends in on your history with Camden and what's happening now. Use all the naughty words, Cammy says with a nod. I sigh and gather my thoughts. Cammy knows the history. Camden and I went to school together. I spend the next 10 minutes filling them in on everything that happened when I was 20. School, living together, the sex, the almost pregnancy, and getting married. Leaving him. All of it.
Wow,
Addie says with a sigh. No wonder you freaked out when Riley said you'd be working with Camden. I nod. I was so embarrassed, you guys. I know I was young, and if I had to do it again, I would do it so differently.